John Vyer wrote that some of the symptoms were caused by an imbalance of the humors, and then, in 1597, King James VI dismissed the delusions of transformation as a depression causing men to imitate the behavior of animals. I leaned back over the man. So, in essence, your show is about 420 years behind the times. Closing the door, I climbed the steps. Ruby looked up as I approached.
How did it go?
I don't think I'm destined for cable stardom. I crossed to my office and found Sancho on my phone, conversing at a high rate of Spanish with the Republic of Chile. I started to go, but he held up a finger and then made a few more statements before lowering the receiver back on the cradle and looking up at me.
There's a problem.
I sat in my guest chair. When is there not? Miguel Hernandez was politically active in Santiago, and now the government is afraid that his death, especially if it ends up being a possible murder, is going to lead to an uprising and martyrdom. I squeezed the bridge of my nose in an attempt to intercept the headache that was building. He was a shepherd. Evidently, he was also a writer of political pamphlets. So, this is not a formal protest concerning working conditions?
Yes, it is.
Well, at least that's what they'd prefer rather than a murder, which would be seen in some circles as an action by their government. A Chilean assassin in the Bighorn Mountains of Wyoming. The ambassador seems to think there's a contingent that would attempt to use the death for political gain. So, what do they want from us? To discern whether the death was a suicide or a murder, and, if it was a murder, to capture a suspect not of Chilean nationality, and especially not a member of their government. We sat there in the silence of global stupidity. Well, I think we're on the same page there. He nodded.
How did the interview go?
The man is a moron.
We're on the same page there, too.
He glanced around. You want me to get out of your chair? No, I'm fine.
Isaac Cole about the final on the autopsy report?
No, he sometimes forgets. So I think I'll go over there this afternoon.
Want company?
I would, but somebody has to hold down the fort.
I pointed toward the computer.
You want to check my email for me? He tapped a few keys and then gestured with a palm.
You've got mail from the server.
What server?
Your internet provider, probably welcoming you to their email platform.
He moved, tapped the thingamajig, and nodded.
Just a routine response.
Nothing from my daughter?
No.
Well, that's disappointing. How do we know she got it?
Got what?
The email.
He stared at me.
Because I sent it.
Yep, but how do we know she got it?
It didn't come back. I glanced at the computer like we were being rude, talking about it in third person.
They do that?
What? Come back.
Yeah.
He glanced around. One bit of good news, Mickey Southern, pervert hunter, is not coming up today. I took a deep breath and tried to think, for the life of me, what in the world he was talking about.
Who?
The internet guy who baits pedophiles. I guess he decided that our case wasn't as bad as he thought.
Well, that is good news, right?
Right.
He stood and glanced around.
This is a nice office, boss.
He looked at the bay window behind my desk. With the view of the mountains, the only thing I can see out of my window is the bank across the street. I waited a moment, but the need for him to say more was palpable. What's on your mind? He leaned against the wall and looked down at me.
You've got 2 more years in your term.
Are you planning on standing in the next election?
I studied him. I haven't thought about it.
He laced his hands. I've been approached by a few people in the community. His eyes came up to mine, and he started to speak, but then closed his mouth for a moment.
Look, I don't want you thinking I'm trying something here. But I'm just curious as to your intentions. I mean, you talk about retiring all the time, and I know that Vic is your heir apparent, but she's told me herself that if you walk through that front door for the last time, she's going to be right behind you.
He stopped and eyed the Bighorns.
Look, I just want to be open about this. I don't want to be skulking around and have you thinking ill of me, all right?
All right.
So, do I still have a job?
Yep.
You're not pissed off at me?
Nope.
I stood.
I'll start giving it some thought, but don't expect an answer real soon. Placing a hand on his shoulder, I dipped my head and looked under the brims of both our hats. I appreciate you coming to me with this. And I'm not upset or anything. I honestly don't know what I want to do. But you'll be the first to know. Deal? He smiled. Deal. Now you have to go say something to Vic.
Oh, crap.
Don't worry. I think it's already crossed your mind. I patted his shoulder and steered him toward the door. I'm not so sure she even wants to be sheriff.
I'll let you know.
He stopped and looked back at me. If you don't hear from me the rest of the day, you'll look for my body, right? We'll do our best, but it's a big county. Leaning on my dispatcher's counter, I waited as she scribbled down the number and handed it to me.
Donnie Lott.
I took the post-it and glanced back at her.
Where'd you get it? Libby Troon?
I figured if he contacted her about hiring a kidnapper that she probably had his phone number and address.
Fort Collins.
It's in Colorado.
You don't say.
I started back toward my office, but added, I turned my computer on. She said nothing. I just wanted you to know. Sitting in my chair, I leaned back and looked out at the view Sizer Pretoria coveted. Soaking in about all the high plains beauty I could handle, I reached over and took the receiver from my phone, just as my undersheriff came in, closed the door behind her, and sat in my guest chair, lodging her boots on my desk once again.
Careful of the computer. Fuck you.
I hung up the phone. Been talking to Sancho?
What the fuck?
He's just testing the waters. How about I test his gonads with the point of my tactical boots? This doesn't come as a surprise to either of us. She sighed deeply.
I suppose not, but would it have killed him to wait another 2 years?
I shrugged. He got approached, and you know how rumors spread in a small town. He just didn't want any of us to get caught flat-footed.
It still pisses me off.
Amazingly, I can tell. She raised the tarnished gold eyes up to study me the way cats watch birds.
What are you going to do?
I honestly don't know. Leaning forward, I rested my elbows on my desk and rubbed the smooth skin of my left eyelid with a forefinger. I think I changed down there in Mexico.
Well, you have. You have that great scar.
Dropping my hand from my face, I slumped back in my chair.
I just feel
disconnected. Like I'm not sure if I should really be here doing this job anymore.
Where would you go?
I don't know. Hatch, New Mexico, or Hyder, Alaska, maybe? She let that one settle.
So, you talked to Henry?
I did. That usually helps. Well, this time it didn't. I reached into my pocket for the Mallow Cup candy card and held it out to her. Did you leave this on my dash last night?
No.
She took it and studied it, fully knowledgeable of the significance.
Was your truck locked?
I'm not sure. Well, there's an extra set of keys on the rack in the main office. So anybody could have put it there if it was, but why?
I don't know.
It's in perfect condition, just like the other one. She handed it back to me.
Somebody's fucking with you.
It would appear.
Speaking of, how about we fuck?
She lowered her boots to the floor. In case you're not keeping score, I am. We haven't had sex since you got back.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't asking for an apology. I'm just wondering what's up.
I don't know.
You want to try it? And see if it makes things better?
It usually does.
Vic. I'm willing to take one for the team. A quick one here in the office since the door's shut? She patted the desk and stood. Let me know, but don't wait too long. A girl gets frustrated, you know? She placed a hand on the doorknob and looked back at me.
For the record, I will have my way with you.
Is that a threat? She turned the knob and opened the door, signaling that the personal portion of the conversation was over.
More of a guarantee.
And like that, she was gone.
Gripping the handset up, I took the scrap of paper from my desk and punched in the number, dialing Fort Collins. It rang three times, and then a woman answered in an uncertain voice. "Hello?"
"Hello, this is Absaroka County Sheriff Walt Longmire. I'm trying to get in touch with Donnie Lott."
"Is this about my dad?"
"Excuse me?"
"This is his wife, Jeannie. Is this something about my dad up there?"
"Well, possibly. You're Babe Chapari's daughter?"
"Yes, God help me."
I leaned back in my chair and cradled the phone in the crook of my neck. "I get the feeling that you know why I'm calling."
"The kidnapping thing."
"Yep. Would you like to tell me what that's all about?"
"Why?"
I took a second. "It's kind of a serious charge, and I'd just like to get the lay of the land before it gets even more serious."
"Are we being charged with something?"
"Not now, but I would like to know what's going on between the two of you and your father."
She fumbled with the phone. "Oh, God."
"If this is a bad time," I listened as she breathed.
"It was just a stupid threat. Look, my father is very attached to Liam, and we sometimes have trouble getting him from the old man. So Donnie called that idiot Libby Troon and asked her about getting someone to help us get our son back."
"Why didn't you call me?"
"Well, Donnie's had some difficulties with the law, and I didn't want to press charges on my dad. I mean, Abe's my father, for goodness sake."
"I see."
"But my husband can be a little intimidating, and so can my father. And the last time we were up there, he threatened Donnie with a shotgun."
There was a pause.
"Look, my parents are getting older, and it's easier for them when Liam is around, and they know we'll be coming if he's there. I don't know, it's all screwed up family, you know?"
"It's what I deal with the majority of the time."
"Well, Donnie's going to be pissed that Dad's gotten you involved."
"Actually, he didn't." There was another pause.
"Did Libby Troon get you?"
"No, there's been a bit of a tragedy up here that involves one of your father's herders, and I happened to be over there and met your son."
"What kind of tragedy?"
"He appears to have committed suicide." I listened as she caught her breath.
"Oh, no. Which one?"
"A Mr. Hernandez. Did you know him?"
"No, but I know that Dad gets very attached to his herders."
"Miguel Hernandez. He was Chilean and somehow politically involved down there."
"How terrible."
"Is there any possibility that your husband knew him?" She laughed.
"No, no, Donnie doesn't want anything to do with the sheep business. The closest he ever came to ranching was buying a cowboy hat and learning to line dance. That's one of the problems between him and my father."
There was a long pause, and then she spoke again.
"I'm sorry, but what did you say your name was again?"
"Longmire. Walt Longmire."
"My father built an empire, Sheriff Longmire. The problem is that now that he's built it, nobody wants it but him. I don't suppose you have any kinds of problems like that in your family?"
"Actually, I still own my family ranch."
"Working?"
"Leased." I could hear disappointment in her voice, all the way from Colorado.
"Oh.
Miss Lott, from what I understand, Mr. Hernandez has family down there in Greeley, and we're having trouble getting in touch with him. You wouldn't happen to know them or know how I could contact them?"
"I'm afraid not."
"Well, are you or your husband planning on coming up anytime soon? I'd like to speak with you, perhaps along with your father."
"We were hoping to get Liam this weekend."
"Maybe I can help with that. When you get a clear picture of what your travel plans are, could you give me a call and we'll set something up?" I read her the number and then we said our goodbyes. That's the problem with empires. They're all personal. As I rounded the corner at 4th Street, I noticed a white Toyota pickup with Montana plates trailing me. Making the turn to go to the hospital, I pulled into the alley behind the bank and stopped, rolling down my window as Kasich Chichu pulled up beside me and lowered hers.
"Hey, robbing a bank?"
"Nope. I just saw you tailing me and I thought I should see if you wanted something."
"You saw me?"
"I did. I thought I was being really inconspicuous." I glanced around. "It's a small town with not much cover. You have something on your mind, Miss Chichu?" She nodded, parked, and telling her dog to stay, walked over to my window.
"News from the Wolf Front?"
She leaned her elbows on the sill, a little breathless. "As it turns out, 777M is something a little special."
"In what way?" "He's native."
"I'm afraid I don't understand."
"To Wyoming. He's one of our original wolves."
She smiled
and continued, "Sheriff, wolf remains in the Lamar Valley of Yellowstone National Park go back almost 1,000 years. Wolves have always been here, but they were Irremotus and not Occidentalis."
"I'm not following."
"By the late 1930s, there were maybe 12 wolves remaining in Yellowstone Park, and they were Irremotus, but in the 60s they started using compound 1080, sodium fluoroacetate, to virtually wipe them out. Do you know that one spoonful of that stuff can kill 100 people?"
"No, I can't say that I do."
Ignoring my answer, she continued, "But there was a sighting in the late 70s of a dark-colored pair living in the northeast section of the park."
"So?"
"So the mid-90s was when the Occidentalis, the Canadian wolves, were reintroduced into the Yellowstone ecosystem, a completely different subspecies."
"And the Irremotus is the native Wyoming wolf that you say survived? How is that possible?"
She threw up her hands. "Who knows? Usually the oxes kill the irres, but some of the irres must have survived both them and the poison."
Out of basic respect, I reached down and switched off the motor on my truck.
"There must have been a mating pair that produced more pups that must have produced this guy."
"How can you be sure of that?"
777M was tagged and collared by a National Park Service trainee before turning him loose. While our people did the DNA paperwork, and discovered 777M is full-blood Irremotus.
"Don't the two subspecies mix?"
"Not generally. And like I said, it's more common for the oxes to kill them because they're smaller, but not this guy, if he's as big as you described."
"You've seen him too?"
"Yes, but not as close as you."
I thought about it. "So, you have a throwback."
"I know. Isn't it amazing?"
"Congratulations."
"Well?"
She stared at me.
"You have to stop your wolf hunt."
"It's not my wolf hunt, Miss Chichu. It's the Department of Agriculture's wolf management people or the Predator Board you need to be talking to, not me."
"But you're picking the wolf hunter."
"No, I'm not. That was Ranger Coon's attempt at a joke since he is retiring, and one that I don't think is particularly funny. I suppose you could also talk to Don Butler of the Wyoming Cattlemen's Association, but I'd imagine that's going to be a rather one-sided conversation."
"You're not going to help me?"
"Frankly, I don't see how I can." She stepped back and practically shouted at me,
"Call off the wolf hunt!"
"I don't have the jurisdiction to call off anything, Miss Chichu. It's the state and federal agencies you're talking about. I'm a county sheriff. Now, if you want to talk to me about the investigation into the death of Miguel Hernandez, that's within my job description, but not wolves." She stood there for a moment more and then stalked away, headed for her truck, but turned back and stuck a finger out at me.
"By the way, I read your interview in the local paper, and for my money it was one of the most shameless, exacerbating things I've ever read. You've started a full-blown wolf scare here, Sheriff."
With that, she turned away again and jumped into her truck, tires squealing down the street. I thought about going after her and giving her a citation, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember if I had a ticket book in my truck. I glanced over at Dog, who looked as shell-shocked as I felt, and then pulled out and continued to the hospital. "Let's not follow that car, shall we?" Dog wanted to go into the hospital and couldn't understand why he wasn't allowed inside.
"It's not my fault they don't allow dogs."
I stood there holding the door of my truck in the sunshine as he studied me.
"I don't know why you wanted to come. They've never allowed dogs."
He sat and continued looking at me, eye to eye. "Some people are allergic or something, I don't know." I rolled down the windows a bit, and he settled, resting his mammoth head on his huge paws and stretched out the full length of the seat as I shut the door. Walking into Durant Memorial always gave me a slight chill, maybe because there were times when I wasn't sure if I was ever going to leave the place of my own volition. I turned the corner, waved at the receptionist, and walked down the hall to Isaac Bloomfield's office. Knocking on the door, I heard nothing inside and then knocked again, wanting to make sure that the piles of files hadn't fallen over and incapacitated him.
"He's not in there."
I turned to see David Nickerson, Isaac's protege, and didn't we all have them these days?
"Where is he?"
"Outside.
There's a picnic table in the back where the staff can eat if the weather's nice."
"Thanks." I pushed off and walked past the dark-haired young man.
"It's the other way."
I called over my shoulder. "I'm bringing a friend to lunch." It didn't take long for Dog to navigate the grounds around the hospital building, and he now sat with Isaac's hands cradling his head,
the finely boned fingers supporting the boxy muzzle as the two old souls gazed into each other's eyes.
Maybe you should do his DNA.
I'm not so sure I want to know what he is. Isaac released Dog's head and reached onto the picnic table, breaking off another piece of matzah and feeding it to the beast.
Happy Passover!
I broke a piece off for myself. Certainly seems like spring today. Chewing the unleavened bread, I did my best to ignore the thin remains of snow on the grounds, leftovers from the skiff of the other night.
Are you all right, Walter?
I thought about whether I wanted to share my symptoms with him, but then figured he was the only one who was medically trained that I really trusted.
I've been having these phases.
What kind of phases?
I'm not really sure, but it's like some traumatic pause.
Physically or mentally?
Both.
He studied me, and then his eyes went toward the trees by the creek.
You are familiar with the fight-or-flight response?
I nodded. Survival-oriented acute stress response.
Yes, but have you ever heard of the fight-flight-or-freeze response?
No.
You access the menace as something you can defeat, or one that you must run from.
Both of these responses require a burst of biochemical, such as adrenaline, that enable you to combat or flee your adversary. But what if in those nanoseconds of response time, you realize that you can neither defeat nor escape the menace?
He finally looked back at me.
Are these phases happening in moments of stress?
No.
Interesting.
Are you alone?
Mostly.
How long are these periods?
Vic timed one at almost 8 minutes.
It is possible that your mind is disassociating itself from the terrifying enormity of what you are facing because accepting it might rob you of your sanity.
I looked at the concentration camp survivor. I'm getting tired of it all, Doc. I'm getting sick of what people do to one another.
This is the first time you've felt this way?
No, but it's gotten to me worse than it ever has before. He nodded.
You've been through a great deal lately.
Maybe it's enough. He stared at me through the thick-framed glasses as I spoke to the surface of the table. Maybe it's time to have it over with. Just up and quit.
That would be a shame.
Why? He adjusted the glasses and smiled the sad smile that had aged like wine.
Because you are very good at what you do, Walter.
Isaac reached under his down jacket and put a small plastic bag from the front pocket of his smock. He handed it to me. I held the bag up but couldn't see anything inside.
Mule hairs.
I sighed, thinking about how high the man had been hung. I held the bag up in the sun and could now see the short fibers and then lowered it to the table and studied the wood grain of the surface.
So, what is it I'm so damn terrified of, Doc?
Why, Walter, I would have thought it was obvious.
He smiled his sad, worldly smile.
Yourself.
Chapter 7.
Even though Chalkoon is fur-bearing, I still don't think we're going to be able to have a hunting season on him.
Vic cocked her head at the game warden.
He's retiring. That means he's old and slow and will be easier to shoot.
I don't think the department will go for it.
She crossed her legs. Then I guess I may have to resort to the shoot, shovel, and shut the hell up plan.
I glanced at the 20-inch brown trout on the wall above Ferris Kaplan's desk, adjusted my hat on my knee, and changed the subject.
What do you know about this Kasich Chichu?
He laughed.
The wolf advocate. She's a major pain in my ass, but that's not an official department position either.
She was quoting me some interesting findings on 777M earlier today.
Like what?
That he's a native Wyoming wolf and not one of the Canadian transplants you guys brought down here in the 90s.
First off, we didn't bring them down here. The Forest Service did. And second, I haven't heard anything about that.
I spread my palms as he studied me and looked thoughtful, finally shaking his head.
Iromotus. That would be highly unlikely.
How big of a deal would it be?
Huge. Like finding an extinct species, or the Loch Ness Monster, or Bigfoot.
Vic slumped in her chair.
So we get to be the ringmaster of an even bigger shit show than the one we have now.
Possibly.
Ferris leaned down and opened a desk drawer.
Want a drink?
Not waiting for a response, he placed a bottle of Sazerac rye on his blotter, along with two tumblers.
You guys are going to have to share.
Vic reached for the glass as he finished pouring.
Okay, so this wolf is collared, right? So why can't you guys just track him and dart him, or whatever you do?
Kevin took a sip from his personal glass and leaned back in his chair.
Well, that supposes that the smart collar is operating.
I reached over and took the tumbler from Vic as she lowered it from her lips.
I take it it's not.
Sometimes.
The new collars are developed by a team of scientists at UC Santa Cruz with accelerometers like those of smartphones. He paused and glanced at Vic.
Will you explain what a smartphone is to him?
She turned to me.
It's a phone that's smart.
The game warden sighed.
Anyway, they not only track the wolf but give us an indication of when they're burning up calories by running or conserving energy while resting, almost like keeping a diary of the wolf's activities.
Sounds great, so what's the problem?
That batch got the first generation leftovers, and they proved to be a little finicky. Sometimes they transmit, sometimes they don't.
The teacher woman also mentioned that a trainee was the one who tested and collared 777M.
That could have also had an effect.
Vic took the glass back from me.
Does it have GPS tracking?
Sometimes.
I leaned forward. And is it true that private individuals can get transponders and track the wolves themselves? He nodded.
If the transmitter on the collar is working, yes. I've heard of cases over near Yellowstone, and that could be true with 777M.
Hey, what the hell is this 777M shit anyway? It sounds like we're talking about a U-boat. Can we just name this fucking wolf?
Captain shook his head and placed a hand over his bearded face.
Oh, please don't do that. Why not?
It'll anthropomorphize the animal, and pretty soon we've got GoFundMe sites